Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Gospel record of Luke. The Gospel record of Luke and Luke in chapter number 8. The Gospel record of Luke and Luke in chapter number 8. We're walking through together in the life of ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ as portrayed through the Gospel record of Luke. Now, we love the Gospel record of Luke. Luke was a medical doctor who, because of that, believed in research, and he had the opportunity, as the Apostle Paul was in prison, to go and interview everyone who knew Jesus, to be able to go and corroborate evidence, to verify all of these stories, and then put them together in order, the way that it happened in history. We usually use the Gospel record of Luke as our timeline of the events of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of this, he was able to sit down and talk to witnesses, talk to Mary, the mother of Jesus, to speak to the disciples, to speak to other witnesses, to say, what happened in this story? Can you tell us more about the details? So that's why the Gospel record of Luke is a lot more wordy, as someone said, than the others. Just a lot more details, a lot more things into it. And so this has been a fascinating study to take our time and to see those stories. So if you wouldn't mind to look through the Gospel record of Luke in chapter number 8, and we now pick up another event in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, it's the first of 5 events where it shows that Jesus Christ is the master of nature, the master of man, the master of all. And so notice with me in the Gospel record of Luke chapter number 8, and pick it up with me in verse number 22. The Gospel record of Luke chapter 8 and verse number 22. The Bible says this: Now it came to pass on a certain day that he, Jesus, went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over to the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the Gospel record of Luke chapter number 8? The Gospel record of Luke chapter 8, and notice with me in verse number 25, Jesus remarked to them, Where is your faith? Where is your faith? And with the Lord's help, we're going to see this account here and put the emphasis here. Where is your faith? Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come up to you now, we're just praying that we would keep our eyes on you, that we would see you for whom you are, that you are the master of all, and that we can trust you in your word, we could trust your promises, we could trust your care, we could see that you're a God who knows what he's doing. Help us in our faith to be increased, that we could keep our eyes on you. Help strengthen us up even more. And we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What a powerful rebuke that Jesus said to his disciples. That question, just 4 little words. Where is your faith? What a great question. In fact, that's a question that oftentimes should be said of us when we go through different trials and different turmoils, when we just start losing and keep our eyes off the Lord and losing our minds, and we have to be reminded, where is your faith? By the way, let's kind of define our terms. What is faith? A great definition of faith would be found in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, where it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finish of our faith. What is a good definition of faith? Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Jesus knows what he's doing. Now, with it, we have to understand that when we describe what faith is, and as we try to define it as looking unto Jesus, we say it that way on purpose because we know that there's a lot of people who have faith in different things. There are some people who have the faith in environment. There are some people who have the faith in government. They have some people that have faith in this and faith in this. We want to remind you that it is not how much faith you have that is as important as the object of your faith. Jesus Christ should be the object of our faith because Jesus will never fail. We know there's a lot of people that have a lot more faith than we do, but they have their faith misplaced in something that cannot be a help. And so it is the object of our faith that is important. What is biblical faith? Looking unto Jesus. So with that definition in mind, where is your faith? Where is your trust in Christ? Where is your looking at Jesus? Jesus looked at his disciples and asked them in the midst of this scenario, where is your faith? If you don't mind, let's look in the gospel record, Luke of chapter number 8, and let's kind of look at this story in a little bit more detail. The first thing we want to point out here is a great storm. A great storm. Now, notice with me in verse number 22. Now, it came to pass on a certain day that he, Jesus, went into a ship with his disciples. And he said to them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. Now, before we start, may I remind you that if Jesus says we're going to the other side, we're going to the other side. We could take Jesus at his word. That's part of that faith. Can you trust what God said? We know that the Bible is full of promises, and these are promises that we can apply to ourselves, and that part of having faith is trusting God at his word. And when he said he's going to do something, he's going to do something. Maybe I can give you an example. The most famous Bible verse in all of the Word of God is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you or me, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish or go to that awful place called hell, but instead have everlasting life. Someone may come to me and said, preacher, how do you know that you're going to heaven? Well, that's a great question. I'm going to heaven not because I feel like it. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a good person. I'm not going to heaven because of some amazing thing that I've done or some amazing amount of money that I paid. I'm going to heaven because God made me a promise that whosoever believeth in him, and I did that. There was a time in my life where I trusted him. And because of that, God made me a promise, and God can't lie, that I shall never perish. But instead, I have everlasting life. Where's my faith? How do I know that I'm going to heaven? Because God made me a promise. And I can trust his word. When he said something's going to happen, it's going to happen. He said, if you believe in me, and I did, he said that I shall have eternal life. I shall have everlasting life. Now, how long is that? Is a week? Is that a year? It's forever. And God made me a promise, and I can take him at his word that when he said we're going to the other side, I'm going to the other side. My faith is in his word, having confidence in what he said was true, and I can believe it. So when he gathered his disciples and said, boys, let's get in the ship and we're going to the other side. They were going to the other side. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not storms that happen. In fact, may I remind you that storms happen to the saved and to the unsaved. Amen. It rains upon the lost and those who are God's children just the same. Some people have a mistaken notion that once you accept Christ as your Savior, that you have no more problems, that everything's going to be bed of roses, that everything's going to be nice. It is not true. Life still happens. Things still happen. In fact, the Bible talks about, or we could define life, that it's a series of hills and valleys. There's high points and there's low points. Jesus said, I'm here to give you life, but not just life, more abundantly. Higher hills, deeper valleys. There's more things you could expect. You're not in the absence of problems. In fact, you're probably going to have more problems. Just letting you know ahead of time. But when Jesus says you're going to the other side, you're going to the other side. You could trust him. Storms are going to happen. Notice this storm that happened in verse number 23. But as they sailed, so Jesus and his disciples, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. Now, may I pause and say that this is an abnormal storm. The disciples, most of them were fishermen who spent their entire life fishing on this lake, the Lake of Gennesaret, the Sea of Galilee, the same place. They had spent their whole life, they had a whole fishing business. They knew the storms that came in the Sea of Galilee. They were able to weather the storms in the midst of that. They continued to thrive. But this storm was something abnormal. This storm was something more than they could handle. In fact, I was reading someone today that said they believe that this was a Satan-infused storm with a purpose that Jesus was sleeping. Let's try to sink him and try to kill him. We know that Satan did a lot of things to try to keep Jesus away from the cross. And this was another one. But when Jesus says, we're going to the other side, we're going to the other side. But what we are making reference to is that this is an abnormal storm. In fact, notice what it said about the storm in verse number 25. But when they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came a storm of wind. So here the emphasis is on the wind. There's a wind coming through. The rain is coming through. This wind is tipping the boat. And notice, they were filled with water. Now, some of you may be land lovers and not know a little bit, but let me give you a little hint. When you have water in the boat, it's not a good thing. And not only do they have water in the boat's starting to get filled. And the Bible says that they were in jeopardy. Now, notice, it didn't say they felt like they were in jeopardy. There's times that we feel like we're in worse shape than what we really are. And that's a perception, and perception's reality. But when we get through it, say, well, that wasn't that bad. It's almost like a kid getting blood drawn and, oh, you're done? You know, the anticipation was worse. Here, it didn't say that they felt like they were in jeopardy. They were in jeopardy. The storm is blowing. It's tipping the boat sideways. And as it comes in, it's scooping up water. And the water's slashing about. The disciples who are fishermen know their roles. And they're trying to secure everything. And they're trying to lock things down. And they're trying to stand as the boat is going to and fro. They were in jeopardy. Their lives were in danger again. If Satan's the one that's causing the storm and helping to put into it, that's what some people say, and I'll put it a proof in there in just a second, but regardless whether it was Satan infused or not, it was a bad storm. And they were in jeopardy. Their lives are at risk, and there's nothing like when your life is at risk. You start to find out what you're made of. You start to find out what you're trusting in. It's one thing to say, I trust Jesus when the sun is shining, the rainbow's there, the birds are singing. It's another thing when you're hurting to say, I'm trusting in Jesus. It's another thing when the pressure's on. It's another thing when you feel abandoned to say, I trust in Jesus. When the storms come, you find out where your faith really is or where it's really not. And so they're starting to freak out. I could just imagine in my mind, there's Thomas like, what are we going to do? There's Judas who's holding the bag and come on guys, fix things. And the boat is starting to turn away. The disciples are freaking. And what's happening is that their panic is starting to cause everyone else to panic. Have you ever been in a place where one person started to panic and it started to spread? And they all think we're going to die. They all think that everything is going to be plunged asunder. This storm was beyond their ability. They couldn't bring it to shore. They are pretty sure that they are going to sink. So we go from a great storm to a caring master. A caring master. Notice if you don't mind as it goes on in verse 24. And they came to him and awoke him saying, Master, we perish. Meaning they woke him up. Jesus, we're going under. We're sinking. We're dying. Help us now. What are we going to do? Nothing like being woken up from a nap and immediately having people freaking out around you. We're going to die. We're going to die. So they're waking him up. We perish. We're going to die. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. Now, the word rebuked is an interesting word. This is a specific word that's used with Jesus Christ in the gospel records when he's rebuking devils and demons. It is the same word. That's why some people will say that this is a Satan-infused storm. Whether it is or not, it's neither here nor there. We know it's a bad storm, but it's an interesting word to use there when he rebukes them, and it's the same word that he uses to rebuke the satanic forces. And so he gets up and just a word, peace, be still. And it wasn't, by the way, that the wind slowly calmed down and the storm finally went there and the waves just took a time. When he said, peace, be still, it was still instantly. It's a supernatural event. To go from a raging storm where the waves are toppling the ship to glassy sea. Now, these are professional fishermen. They know the sea and they know this is not right. In fact, notice their response to him in verse number 25. And he said, where is thy faith? We'll get to that in a second. And they being afraid and wondered, saying to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the waters that they obey him. They took note that this was supernatural. You know, it's one thing for someone to go up, said, peace, be still, storm stop. And then the rain eventually stops and the clouds start to break apart and then the waters are still choppy. That would be expected. This is a supernatural event where immediately at his command, the water obeyed him and they stopped raging. That is outside of science. This is supernatural to go from choppy waves to still. It is supernatural for the rain to just instantly stop and the clouds to break. It is supernatural. It is one thing for the winds to be blowing and then to slowly taper off, then the winds to be blowing so hard and then to stop so much that you're, as you've been holding against the wind stops and you almost fall over because you've been leaning into the wind, trying not to fall over. They stop and they took notice. What is this? This is amazing. This is supernatural. We've been fishing on these seas all of our life and we've never seen anything like this. And they were afraid. Who is this? Who is this? Well, Jesus looks to his disciples in verse 25 and he says unto them, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Here's a storm that's been raging. Here's a storm that was coming. And their response to the storm was not, hey, Jesus said we're going to the other side. Maybe we should trust him. We know the storm's bad, but Jesus said we're going to the other side. We're just going to hold on. Where is your faith? They were convinced they were going to die. In fact, may I say that probably honestly they had forgotten that Jesus said we're going to the other side. They're worried about what's happening here. God's word is just absent from there. We're going to die. We're going to die. We're going to die. Isn't that normally what happens to us? That when we get into a panic situation, we forget God's word. We forget God's promises. We forget to look up. We're not in the habit of looking up when those storms come. Remember, we talk about discipleship here as developing the habit of obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. That everything we do in the Christian life is habits. You get in the habit of reading your Bible. You get in the habit of going to church. You get in the habit of praying. Well, you know, you also get in the habit of trusting God. The habit of looking to God. God wants it so that way when the storms come, because we've already developed the habit of praying, habit of looking up, that it becomes instant. And if you don't have that habit, when the storms come, you're going to revert back to base denominator. You're going to revert back to freaking out and not trusting God because you're not in the habit of looking at it. Does that make sense? Where is your faith? Where is your faith? How many times, in fact, we don't want to have a show of hands, but thinking about this last week, a trial that came up, and your first response wasn't, God, this is great, and God, you're amazing, and I'm so thankful for it. But it was more like, oh, I'm pulling out my hair. What am I going to do? Am I going to survive? That's our normal faith response when God says, where's your faith? I gave you some promises. I gave you some things to trust in. I gave you some things to look at. There's no reason for you to panic. There's no reason to lose your mind. There's no reason just to fall apart. Where is your faith? Dear friend, have you developed the habit in your life to being thankful for all things? Have you developed the habit of looking to God and praying even in the small things? So that way you're in the habit of praying when the big things happen? These are habits that you need to develop. Start developing the habits of your life. I'm going to look to Jesus. I'm going to look to Him. I'm going to look to Him. I'm going to look to Him. You know, there's an old illustration of a sponge that when pressure gets on, what comes out of the sponge is what's been put into it. If you take a sponge and squeeze it out and dirty water comes out, guess what? It's because it was dirty water that was into it. What we put into us, what we develop, is what's going to come out of us when the pressure is on. The pressure comes on, it should still be, I've already been taught, I'm going to look at the Lord. I'm going to look at Jesus. I'm going to look at Him. I'm going to look at Him. And we have to develop that. By the way, how do we get faith? That's a good question. If we're talking about how do we get faith, how do we get this? Do we close our eyes and clench our fists? I need faith. I need faith. I need faith. How do we get it? That's a good question. Where is your faith? How do we get it? The Bible talks about in the book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Where does faith come from? Faith comes directly from the word of God. What does that mean? Well, what we do is we take a promise and we obey it. We do our part. God does His part. And we see that God keeps His word and we trust Him. Then we take another promise and we do our part. He does His part. And God keeps His word and we trust Him more. And we take another promise and take it, obey it, do our part. He does His part. He does what He said He's going to do. We see it. Our faith's increased. That's how our faith grows. How does our faith grow? By the word of God. That's why we say the greatest thing you could do on a daily basis is to be in the word of God for yourself. If you get to the place where you say, I need more faith, I'm going to tell you, read your Bible. Find something to obey. Find some principle in there that you could claim. Find something in there that you could obey. Develop that habit of faithing Him, of looking unto Jesus, trusting Him at His word. And then when those storms come, what's going to automatically come out of you if you've been taking your time to trust God's promises is you're going to trust God when those storms come. You develop those habit of following after Christ. Now at this time, we've just concentrated on the disciples. We've just looked at the disciples and the disciples' response and the storms coming. But you know that there was someone else out there? Turn with me, if you don't mind, to the gospel record of Mark. The gospel record of Mark in chapter number 4. The gospel record of Mark chapter 4. If you're in Luke, it's just the one book back. The gospel record of Mark chapter number 4. And if you don't mind, let's see this account here. But there's another detail slipped in into the gospel record of Mark, and I want you to see it. Now, we talked about there was a great storm, and then we saw a caring master, that the disciples were in the ship with Jesus, and Jesus was able to say, peace be still. But notice with me, if you don't mind, in the gospel record of Mark, and let's see this account here in chapter number 4. Notice with me starting at verse number 35. The gospel record of Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. And the same day when even was come, he, Jesus, saith unto him, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude. So here Jesus has been teaching and preaching, and we've been watching that. He says, all right, boys, let's go to the other side. And his disciples tell the other people, go away. We're going to go on to the other side. There's not enough room for everyone in the boat, just us. Sorry, go away. And so they sent away the multitude, and they took him, Jesus, even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. You know, it wasn't just the disciples in a boat. There was part of the multitude that was traveling in the boat with him. And let's look and see about those others, these other little ships. The disciples were not the only other ones out there. But there were some differences. Those people didn't have Jesus personally. personally present with them at the moment. They did not have the comfort the disciples had available. You know, the disciples could have just went, looked and said, oh, Jesus is still sleeping, we're fine. The other people did not have Jesus in body with them. They didn't have that comfort. They didn't have the thing to look to. You know, sometimes we get so self-absorbed with our own problems and our own storms that we forget that there are others with horrible storms out there that have no hope. We have hope. We have Jesus. But there's people that have storms out there that they don't have that hope. And when those storms come, what do they look to? What are they going to go through? You know, we can learn quite a bit about looking even at these other ships in the midst of the storm. First of all, what can we learn? You're not the only ship in a stormy sea. You're not the only ship in the stormy sea. There are people all around us who are struggling. There are people all around us that are going through the same things that we're going through, but they don't have hope. We need to be able to look out to them, even in the midst of our storms. They're going through it. We have hope. They have nothing. Don't be so self-absorbed. There are other people out there that are struggling too. There are other people out there that are going through things. What else do we learn? These storms are a way to help you grow and to help others. You know, when Jesus looked at him, he said, "Where is thy faith?" He didn't say, "All right, you guys are all fired." Why did he say that? Because he wanted them to learn their lesson. Next time we go through a storm, look at me. Look at me. He wanted them to remember this event. That storm was there to help them, not to hurt them. Part of God's unconscious preparation. They didn't choose to go through the storm, but God said, "You need the storm anyways to bring you to the place that I want you to be at." Those storms are here to help us. But those storms, as we look here at the other little ships, they're also made so we could help others. The Bible talks about in the book of Colossians that we're supposed to comfort others with the same comfort that we've been comforted with. There are other people that are going through the same things we went through, but we had Jesus. They're going through them now and they don't have Jesus. You know what they need? They need Jesus. Hey, I know what it's like to go through this. May I help you? There may be some times that God allows you to go through some terrible things that other people may not go through, so you could be a help to someone else who's going through that, who may not understand, that no one else may understand what they're going through. God may allow you to go through it to help you to be a better help to someone later on. Amen. Those storms are not just there because God wants to see if you're not going to drown. There's a purpose behind all of those things. Something else that we learn here is that sometimes you don't always know why the storm stopped. Now, the disciples are there. "Jesus, wake up! We're going to die! We're going to perish!" Jesus gets up, rebukes it. "Peace, be still!" You know, the other people in the boat didn't know Jesus did that. The storm stopped. What happened? What occurred? Sometimes we don't know why a storm stops. We don't know why things are going. Maybe it's because someone prayed. Maybe it's because someone got a hold of Jesus. Maybe someone went to the Lord on behalf of us and our storm was eased and we didn't know when it happened. We don't know why the storm stops. Wouldn't that be amazing? You don't know Jesus. You think when they got to the other side and they heard, "Hey, yeah, we talked about Jesus and Jesus yelled at us, where is faith?" But he said, "Peace be still." You think those people who witnessed that were more inclined to know about this Jesus?
Amen. Yes.
You bet. You know, we don't know why the storm stops, but it could be because God answered prayer and now they're ready to hear about the God who hears and answers prayer. Yes. Prayer is so important. One more principle that we want to get as we look at these other little ships is that we have an anchor. We have an anchor that will hold in the storm. You know, those disciples were in the safest place. They were with Jesus. Hey, Jesus was going to the cross, by the way. He wasn't going to go drown in the sea. He had a purpose. Jesus still has a purpose. He knows what he's doing, and he's got promises that are yet to be fulfilled. We could anchor ourselves to him, and we could trust that he knows what he's doing. And we're not left by ourselves. We have something to anchor to. So when the storms come, we could be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. God uses this with just a question that he told his disciples. Where is your faith. Where's your faith? Now, I understand there may be some people in here that said, "Preacher, I don't have this anchor. I don't know for sure if something was to happen to me. I don't know if I would go to heaven." I meet people all the time that would admit that said, "You know what? I haven't been sleeping well lately because I'm afraid what would happen to me if I laid my head in my pillow and I never woke up." You know, let me tell you, there's hope, dear friend. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you don't know for sure that your sins are forgiven, the greatest thing that can happen to you this morning is for you to come see one of us, and it'd be our privilege to take the Bible and to show you from the Bible how you can know without a doubt that your sins are forgiven and that Jesus Christ can save your soul and give you a place in heaven. You need to know that. The Bible says in 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have everlasting life, eternal life." I like that word "know." I have a science background. That word "know" means to know with knowledge, to know with evidence. It's not a blind faith. It's to know with proof. And it'd be our privilege to take the Bible and to show you from the Bible how you can know without a doubt that your sins are forgiven. For those of you who do know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the question is, where's your faith? Where's your faith? Meaning that maybe you've gone through some storms lately and you look back and say, "Well, I probably didn't pass that the best I could." Where's your faith? Well, let me tell you how you get your faith is by the Word of God. Are you been in God's Word? Have you been faithful in God's Word? Have you been applying the promises of God's Word? Are you reading it for yourself? This is part of that process to have that faith. So when the storms come, that you're trusting in Him, how's your Bible reading? How's your Bible obedience? And then, dear friend, maybe you find yourself that you've been selfish. As you've been going through the storms, all you could see is your own misery, your own troubles, your own survival. And you've been missing that there are others around you that are hurting. Are you looking out for them? Maybe you just need to look up from your own boat and see that there's a boat over there that's in the storm. They're about ready to be consumed and they're about ready to give up. They need hope. They need encouragement. They need to know that the anchor that you have, they can have too. Have you been reaching out to others? Have you been looking at others? There are people that are hurting all around us. I understand that they may not show it. You may say, "Well, how are you doing?" "I'm fine." That means that they're not fine. But we don't really care enough, so we just shake our head and just walk away. Sometimes you may just say, no, "How are you doing?" "I'm fine." No. "How are you doing?" "I just needed someone to ask me." How many times I've asked that question and watched someone just break down in tears right then and there and said, I'm not fine. There are people that are hurting all around us. Don't let them fool you with a facade and of a face that "I'm fine." And in the inside, they're just breaking in heart. Be looking out for those other little ships. There are people that need help all around you. Where is your faith? Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.